Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Alex Avila, and this is Love University. I'm a psychologist, author, and speaker, and every week we talk about something related to love, relationships, and self-esteem. Our motto here is to love yourself, others, and a higher nature. And every week we have a topic that can help you live better, happier, more lovingly. And we've been having some good guests, and today we have a really special guest. I'm very happy to have this person on. Alexis Meads is a Harvard-educated dating and relationship coach. She is one of the top coaches with Tony Robbins, rated top 4% in relationships. She's been nominated as one of the best life coaches in her area, has been on many news outlets such as Huffington Post, and she even interviewed me for her blog, and I think it turned out well, so I'm happy to introduce Alexis Meads. How are you, Alexis?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me today.
Definitely. And I guess we're both Alexes. I guess we could, if we shorten our names, right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And you have some really interesting materials. You have something, I think, upcoming called the Crazy Wild Love Academy, which I want to talk to you a little more about. And you've done a lot of other things. Yep. Now, one thing I was very interesting, when I looked at your website, I see that you're an attractive woman. You have an MBA or something. What's your degree in?
So my graduate degree is a master's in sustainability. So I originally actually studied sustainability and environmental management after studying psychology and as well in college. So it wasn't actually until after that master's degree and a series of events that about 6 years ago I started my business.
I see. So I see you know, you're an attractive, educated woman. And you say that, you know, there are women out there, men too, that are catches. They have a lot to offer, but say it's hard for them. Why is it so hard for these people to find someone where there is such a catch?
That's a great question. You know, so many different things can come into play. And I think it can almost be more frustrating for someone when everyone's telling you you're a catch, right? Maybe you're extremely attractive or you're smart and intelligent, yet things aren't coming together. And there can be so many reasons for that, but sometimes it's your own expectations of what you're looking for, what a relationship should be like. Sometimes it's some limiting beliefs that are just getting in the way and blocking you and maybe become too desperate or clingy when you start dating. So even if, you know, you're confident in other areas of your life, you're totally a catch, that doesn't always mean that in this area of your life, it just falls together exactly as you'd hope.
That's a good point. Yep. I guess to be a catch, you have the right Fisher person to catch you, right? And you do talk about extraordinary love. I like that word, extraordinary. Uh-huh. Because I work a lot with transforming pain into power and helping people find that higher self. Mm-hmm. So what do you mean by that? What is an extraordinary love?
That's a great question. Well, when I think of extraordinary love, and I like the way you phrased it like that as well, because I'm not just talking about the type of love here that you see in the movies, right? Where I think people think, you know, extraordinary love is it's passionate and you fall in love at first sight. And it's this whirlwind romance with the most attractive man on the planet. You know, whatever you see in those chick flicks, if you will. I was trying to think of the name of some of those movies.
Yes.
But that's not actually what extraordinary love is. That sometimes is almost more ordinary love, because oftentimes those whirlwind romances are tumultuous, or they end in heartbreak, or that love in first sight ends up being great chemistry and with nothing to support it. Extraordinary love, especially in this day and age where divorce is on the rise, it's becoming more challenging for people to date, is really finding that kind of connection and relationship with another human being who's willing to put in the work, who's willing to do the work that you're willing to do to give it legs to stand on, to support a relationship that, you know, can actually last and last through time as well.
Yeah, it looks like I like that. And, you know, we have a lot in common in our materials. And you did a little blog with me on love types and guy types, on the compatibility types. And oftentimes, you know, people ask me, do opposites attract? I say, yeah, sometimes they do. But many times it's in those movies, you know, the romantic movies where they're total opposites. You know, she's a Harvard sociologist. He's a homie from the hood. They fall in love.
Right.
They fight each other. She almost gets killed. And at the end of the time, they get married and they live happily ever after in the movie. But in the real world, they might not happen because they're not really compatible. To say they don't have a lot in common. So you're talking about a kind of a deep connection, something that, you know, maybe you share values and share a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that's interesting is you have a lot of terms, kind of these cute dating terms that are new these days. And one of them you call serendipidating. And you know, I know the word serendipity refers to meaningful coincidences, but I don't think you're talking about that. What do you mean by serendipidating?
Yeah, which was interesting to me too, because this was actually a concept that was introduced to me because I was asked to give a quote on it in an article. So you're right, I think of serendipity as these kind of random coincidences. But in this case, the trend is referring to more so that you're putting off dating in general or putting off a certain date or taking it any further because you're always kind of hoping for something better to come along, that next best thing, if you will.
Okay. So basically, are they still thinking they want to attract someone, or is it they're giving up on dating in general? Because some people get kind of frustrated and tired of it.
Right.
And they don't want to do it anymore for a period of time. And then, so what is the real idea in this concept?
Yeah, well, I think there's two ways to think about it. I think, you know, if you just are feeling frustrated with dating and you're feeling maybe pressured to date, but you really don't want to do it right now, then I'd say the best thing for you is just to take a step back from dating. And that's okay. In this case with serendipity dating, the way I understood it more was that they're still out there. You know, maybe they're on the dating apps, swiping, et cetera, setting updates, but not wanting to follow through because there's always that idea of, well, can I just get back on this app and find a cuter guy, you know, or someone better? And in that case, I would say you also might need to take a step back from dating because if you're always sort of thinking that something better is just around the corner in any area of life, really, it can really become a problem with your decision-making skills and ability to commit and work on something.
Yeah, it's almost like a fantasy mindset, like you're looking for this 100%, you know, thing that may not even exist in some ways.
Right.
But I mean, on the other hand, you want someone who is ideal for you, so you don't want to settle for less. So it sounds like it's a balance.
It's a balance, yeah.
So you don't want to do it to either extreme. Now, one thing that's interesting is you do have, it looks like a three-step program for women. It says here that you've helped hundreds of women over the last year. And the first step is one that I kind of like because it kind of resonates with Love University. Our motto is to basically love yourself first. You're saying fall in love with who you are. And this is really nice. You said be love and it flows effortlessly to other people. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I only feel comfortable kind of teaching and practicing things that I found have worked in my own life, right? And the reason I sort of came up with these three steps and used those as the basis of my coaching program is they were so integral in my own life in terms of meeting the right partner for me. And I really had for myself, I really had to take a step back from dating. I actually stopped dating entirely for 6 months. And that was the time that I really focused on loving myself. And it was something that I wasn't super familiar with before and something that didn't occur to me. I was so busy with my job and social life and all these things that when relationships and dates and things weren't working out and I finally took a step back and I realized, you know, what's going on here? For me, at the core, it was this kind of inner root. I appeared confident on the outside, but there was this lack of kind of core self-love, of that acceptance almost of it will be okay no matter what. Whether this guy likes me or not, as an example, you know, whether I meet someone right now or not, like I am okay with who I am. So it took that stepping back and really developing that authentic confidence within myself and just loving and accepting myself for all those things that I was hard on myself on before I was ready for kind of the next steps of actually meeting the right person for me.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I think you also mentioned the term negative self-talk. You know, telling ourselves we don't deserve love. I call that the self-defeating mindset. You know, those critical inner voices that you're not attractive enough, smart enough, you know, whatever it is, good enough. And to master those and kind of to transform them, I think is important, is what you're saying. And it sounds like you have almost like a spiritual perspective on this. Do you have any spiritual kind of belief system or faith system?
Yeah. I don't have one in particular. I was always kind of one of those kids who... My dad was Jewish, my mom was Catholic, and neither of them really cared about religion. So we sort of had a clashing family. So I was never one of those kids who grew up with a faith sort of presented to them. So I was always sort of searching for it in my own ways as I got into adulthood. So in college, I probably took every religion class. I studied Buddhism and Taoism and done mindfulness work. And I bring sort of, I guess, the best of what I found or what's I've found has really worked for me and my clients into my practice now. So I have found that in terms of this belief mindset, you know, and that negative inner voice, that it is an integral part of ourselves, right? And you don't want to make that another thing you beat yourself up for having, because everyone has those fears or those voices come up.
Right.
But I do use some spiritual practices and almost kind of energy work with my clients to really start to shift those and that relationship with those voices on a deeper level than just ignoring them or casting them aside or trying to, you know, conquer them in some way.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, the spirituality, you know, can be defined in many terms. You know,
sure.
When you look at it in positive psychology, you know, traits like, you know, kindness, compassion, patience, you know, those are very spiritual elements. And many times we don't really look at our partners in that way. You know, when we see a person, you know, they're attractive physically or maybe they're intelligent or charismatic, but, you know, to look deeper, you know, what are their inner qualities? You know, there's, you know, maybe the spiritual qualities that we talk about. In a general sense, you know, patience, compassion, etc. And I think that's part of what you're talking about, but to love yourself first. And then the other thing is, this is something you talk about, is understand what you need. And I think you're talking to females, but possibly males. Release past hurts. Because I noticed that, you know, sometimes a woman, maybe she has been hurt in the past by a man, and now she comes into a new relationship, and maybe she brings some of that negativity or that, you know, that aspect into it. And that can be a difficult thing. So how do we help women release the past hurts, the so-called baggage?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I find that that can often hold people back for a number of ways, right? And one of those also sometimes being that I find with clients that they're thinking about a relationship from the past that ends up being a lot of hurt in the end for them, but comparing each new person to that original person.
Yes.
Right? And it was a different time in your life and it was a different relationship. So that's another way that can sometimes hold us back, by we're expecting it to be a certain way and it won't be. So there's a couple different ways that you can begin to release past hurts. One thing that I have my clients do is what I call rewriting the relationship story. So oftentimes when you've been hurt, you tell yourself a story of rejection, especially if it didn't feel like it was your choice in some way. So you start to tell yourself this story of rejection, of maybe why you weren't good enough for them, or why you'll never find someone as good as them again, or all these things that you start to tell yourself. Or maybe you're looking from through rose-colored glasses and, you know, you're looking back and saying how wonderful this person was, but really they didn't treat you well and they ended the relationship. So I ask them to start looking at the reality of the relationship story itself, and things that maybe were painful, how can you turn those into either a blessing or a lesson, something to be grateful for in some way? You know, maybe the fact that they ended the relationship saved you from a lot more disappointment or frustration or pain down the road, being with someone who wasn't feeling the same way as you. Maybe it taught you more about what you actually need in a relationship. Maybe it's the first time you felt in love, and that was a great thing that sparked something within you. So you can start, and I would actually do this physically on a piece of paper, to rewrite that relationship story in a way that you see the blessings and the lessons that you can carry with you forward due to that relationship. So why was it a gift?
Yeah, I like that. And actually that ties into a book I wrote, The Three Secrets of Happiness, in which one of the secrets is forgiveness, but especially self-forgiveness, you know, forgiving yourself and for, you know, so-called past mistakes or, you know, situations, because, you know, regret is a big issue. Like you said, you know, think of, you know, the past, you know, I should have done this and look what happened that, you know, that kind of thing. But that, you know, holds you back. You know, that's like a rope that ties you to the past.
Right.
So I like this idea that you're trying to cut the rope and recreate that. And in some ways, recreate the memory and put a positive angle to it and what you can learn from it and do better. And that can release a lot of, I guess, pain, because pain is what holds a lot of people back from love, you know, and fear, you know, fear and pain is the idea. Also, you mentioned attract an amazing man. Now, that's a nice word, attraction. And you talk about the law of attraction, again, the spiritual concept that energy, like energy attracts like energy. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it was kind of interesting in my own story. After I had taken the 6 months off of dating and I moved to a new city after that, and I was just in such a better place energetically, if you will. You know, if we're talking about the law of attraction, I had taken some time to just do things for me and take care of myself and learn my own boundaries and just feel good about me, right? And when I got to this new city, I wasn't even looking for a relationship per se. I just was excited to meet new people. You know, I was excited about my life and making friends and all these things. And of course, that's when within 2 months I met my now husband. But my husband, likewise, he had actually been married before. I had not, but he had. He had gone through a divorce a few years before he had met me. And he himself, in his own way, had to get to this place of self-love. For him, exercise was really important and feeling good about himself. And he kind of dated here and there, but nothing serious. And after his divorce, he only had one criteria, he said, when he was to meet someone again. And that was that they had to be good energy. That was the only thing he had put out to the universe. Like, I want someone with good energy.
Yes.
Because he had some negative experiences from his past marriage and things like
that. Let me ask you, as a woman, do you guys have more of a checklist than we do? Do you need more?
we probably do. I don't know. It probably depends on the person. But we might. For him, it was that one thing. Okay. That was it. And in the back of my mind, I probably had a long list of things at the time.
Yes.
But, you know, when we met, and he did not, if I had even a subconscious list of qualities, he probably did not meet most of those
really?
At the time.
Wow.
Yeah, in some ways. But we kept spending time together because I so enjoyed being around him and his company.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I realized, you know what? The only thing that my list kind of boiled down to in the long run was that good energy piece too.
I like that.
Yeah, we both kind of were at that place where we were good energy. We attracted each other, if you will, and then attracted to each other because it was so fun to be around one another. Mm. And from there, for me, some of like the more shallow physical things are probably on my list. Like my husband's not over 6 feet tall, for example. You know, just little things like that. Okay. The attraction really grew because
I
enjoyed being in his presence.
I see. So you weren't, he wasn't like your ideal physical attractive type, you're saying? But you started to grow more attracted to him because of his inner nature, his energy, and things like that.
Exactly.
And that's a whole different idea. Because, you know, sometimes people do superficial kind of analysis, you know, based on, like you said, looks or even finances or other things.
Right.
But you're saying go deeper. Now, there's one exception, though. You do say that sometimes if you're a positive person, you might attract a sponge person, someone who actually drains your emotional energy.
Yeah.
Now, how do we get away from that problem? You know, you're feeling good about yourself, you're positive, and all of a sudden you get these individuals that want to take, you know, your energy.
Right. And I've been in those relationships too. I mean, before I met my husband, I was a pretty optimistic, positive person. And sometimes I attract those guys who would totally drag me down and I wouldn't necessarily recognize it for a few months until I was just exhausted and we'd get in fights and it was just not fun, you know, roller coaster kinds of relationships. So taking that step back, first of all, and working on some of these pieces really helped for me. And from doing that, and then before I met my husband, I had so much more clarity on what I wanted and needed from a partner and how to start to recognize that earlier on. So when there was that person that, and this happened to me actually, right when I first moved to the new city, I started dating someone, but I was able to recognize the quote unquote red flags sooner than I would have been in the past. Like, I was even able to recognize myself falling into some of the behavioral patterns in a relationship that I would have in the past that I knew wasn't going in the right direction. Like as soon as I start feeling a lot of anxiety in a new relationship, that's not a good sign, right?
Okay. So if he's draining you, can you determine that? And do you like leave the relationship or do you try to fix it? What do you do when you have an emotional drainer?
I think it depends. I think there's times where you can fix it. If you have a good thing going, for the most part, and you can genuinely say, you know what, I'm for the most part happier in this relationship than I'm unhappy, or I spend more of my time feeling happy or content or whatever, fulfilled in this relationship than not, then it might be something to work on. But as was the case, at least for me, I realized that I spent most of the time feeling really drained and unhappy in that relationship,
right?
In which case, it's probably not the right relationship for you.
That makes sense. So you help a lot of women, I guess, who are, you know, attractive and confident and wonderful women find their mates. And then the other side of it is men. You know, let's say there are good men out there. And people always say, where are the good men? Where are the good women? Do you feel that there are good men out there for the women?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's just something people start to say and kind of blind themselves by. But there are good men. There are good women. And it doesn't matter what city you live in because I've heard all of the cities. It's like, you can't date in my city.
Yes.
And it's just not true.
Okay.
Right. And it's, you need that one person. That's it. Just one good fit. And there's that person.
One good energy fit, right? Energy.
Yes.
Energy. Now you also try to talk to men. I think you help men and you have, it looks like a few points for them to be able to find the right woman. And first of all, you say how to feel like a confident, quote unquote, badass, express uh-huh. your authentic self, and draw women to you. Mm-hmm. Now, we actually have my engineer here is Reggie. Say hello, Reggie.
Hi.
Reggie's a very nice, hi, introverted, kind of a shy, sensitive guy. So I don't know if he's a badass in that sense.
Yeah.
But he wants to date, you know, and I think we had a challenge for, what was the challenge, Reggie, last time?
To find a date within a month.
Within 30 days. Okay. Now, how's that going so far?
Okay.
It's going.
Okay. But no dates yet. Alexis, let's help this, this Reggie. Uh-huh. Do we need to have him put a motorcycle jacket on and shave his head? Or what do we need to do to help him become confident?
You know, I think especially for more introverted men, which women are still absolutely drawn to, because to me, a confident badass, it's not someone who is necessarily wearing a motorcycle helmet or who's the loudest guy in the room. Okay. In fact, that can be quite a turnoff for women. I think it's more of a quiet confidence.
Good.
And I've talked to women about this. It's that quiet confidence within yourself that most attracts women. So it's when you're not, you don't want to be, you know, too shy or insecure about yourself, because women can feel that as well. And that comes off in different ways. But women can also sense when you're trying to pretend you're something you're not and act overly confident. And that's just masking insecurity. And that's not as attractive either. So I think even whether you're naturally introverted or extroverted, what women are looking for is more that you're secure within yourself. And therefore, you're secure, you know, interacting with them, but not pushing them to do anything, not trying to play any games or win them over in any way. You just want to enjoy someone's company and have a good time with them. And you're secure enough within yourself that if it's not a fit, that's okay as well.
So Alexis, let's give him a practical tip. Yeah. Reggie's sitting here. He has a nice black muscle shirt on.
Okay.
Nice guy. So what can we say to him? I mean, should he go to a coffee shop right now and talk to three ladies? I mean, should he? What should he do to get himself out there?
Right. Well, I think it depends if you're online dating or not, first of all, or if you're doing a combination of both. But especially if you would consider yourself, Reggie, a little more introverted, one practical exercise I'd like for you to try is that next time you go to a coffee shop or anywhere you go, if there's, you know, a barista or whatever, a woman in a situation that you could interact with, just practice doing it. Not in a flirting kind of way, not in a I'm going to try to get her number kind of way. Just practicing more and more, like smiling, being open and present and off your phone, because that shows confidence that you're present in your space where you
Alexa,
are.
Let's do this. Let's try it right now. Yeah. Okay, you're a barista, and let's try it. So Reggie, order something from her.
Hi, can I have a latte?
Yes, absolutely. I'll make that for you right now.
Thank you.
You want to go out?
Okay, so do you want to go out?
Reggie, that was kind of direct. I mean, what do you think? Actually, is he learning something here?
That might have been too direct. But what I would say, I actually had a guy do this with a barista, and he went there regularly, right? So she got to know him a little bit. So he would just start by asking, "How's your day going?" Oh, great.
Okay, let's try that. Ask her how her day is going.
Yep. All right. So, how's your day going?
It's going really well. Thank you for asking.
Oh, no problem.
And then the next time, Reggie, what I would say, once we've had that smaller interaction, if you see me again, would be to compliment me in some way.
Oh, okay.
Compliment her.
Wow, what's it called? I like that, what you did with your hair.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, we're going to turn Reggie into a macho man. He's going to have to beat the ladies off him, I guess, right? Okay. All right, good. So, practice makes perfect. You're saying get out there and little by little, step by step, extend yourself a little more and be more of who you are.
And feel uncomfortable, say that. That's totally okay. You know, one of my clients, he said to the barista, he was like, I know this might sound a little weird, but I've always thought you had a really beautiful voice. And she loved it. And then they ended up going out on a date. So it's okay to not totally pretend. You can just let them know, you know, it's a little awkward, but I wanted to let you know that I think you're really pretty or whatever that might be.
Okay. Very good. You got a date, Reggie? Okay. Of course, she's married, so you can't really do it. But okay. Now, let's say that Reggie gets beyond that point, and also for men that you work with, how does he set the stage for an exciting, fulfilling relationship?
Good question. And in what way do you mean set the stage? You mean have a great first date, or?
Well, I think in your materials, you're talking about, I guess, taking it to the next level. I mean, once you got past the small talk and even the first or second date, what does it need to do to really set the stage for that great relationship?
That's a good question. So what I found from both women and men, excuse me, is in those first couple dates or even months when you're getting to know each other, a woman still, for the most part, wants a man to take the lead, but not so much where she feels like he's in the relationship before she is, right? So you have to kind of keep it slow and steady, but show her a little bit that you're taking the lead, that you're interested in pursuing her, that you're willing to, you know, take some effort to set up a date and follow through with your word, but give her some space between that. Because like for both women and men, I think they get a little freaked out or turned off if they think a guy is coming on too much too quickly and vice versa, or is getting overly clingy and desperate. But at the same time, women also feel like if a guy doesn't follow through at all after a date and they go a week without hearing from them, they might move on. You know, they might assume that guy's not interested in them anymore.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's good. So give each other space, get to know each other in a comfortable way. Be authentic, I think you're saying.
Yep.
Be your best nature. And even if you're introverted, you know, you can impress them maybe with your knowledge, with your ability to listen to them, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have talents. Now, you do have a really interesting term. You talk about crazy wild love, and people think of that. Now, you don't mean crazy in the mental illness way, like crazy, but you mean like out of the edge or, you know, kind of out of ordinary, I would think. And, you know, we have certain brain chemicals, research shows, that are released when you first fall in love that make us feel like high, you know, like amphetamines. But they only last about 9 months, and then they wear off, and other chemicals come in. But are you saying you want people to be constantly, passionately, you know, sexually attracted or chemistry attracted to each other? Is that realistic, or do you think that's what you can do that?
So I don't think that's realistic per se, and not to say that you can't keep the spark going to some extent. But like you said, I mean, naturally, biologically, we have endorphins, dopamine. I think is one of them. You know, that helps us to fall in love, and after that, then I think some hormones take over that are more around bonding. But crazy wild love was actually a term that I deemed when I first started my business, and I was focused more on self-love. So crazy wild love was actually meant to be more around the love of self.
Really? Wow.
First.
So I never heard that before. Being crazy loved about yourself. That's a very interesting way to look at it. So you give yourself a hug and a pat every day on the back or something.
You know, and from there, so now Crazy Wild Love Academy, it's a 7-week program. It starts with that confidence piece, that love of self. So self-love, that authentic confidence, the limiting beliefs we work on first, and then we go into dating and relationships too. So now the term is kind of dual-termed about crazy wild love around self-love, and also then that starting that kind of relationship, that kind of passionate, exciting, crazy wild love relationship that really doesn't ultimately have anything to do about being a roller coaster or feeling like you need to feel passionate about someone forever, because that's not realistic. But it's setting the stage for the kind of relationship that at least clients are telling me that they want, which is a lasting, healthy, happy relationship.
Yeah, I like that. You know, so the way you treat yourself is often how people treat you. So, Reggie, you got to put on a nice warm jammy tonight, you know, and have some nice drinks, take care of yourself. And, you know, basically love yourself is what you're saying. Now, you know, I'm very curious, Alexa, you come from a very interesting background. You've been one of the top coaches with Tony Robbins, the very well-known you know, relationship and personal development teacher. How did you get involved with Tony Robbins?
Yeah, so I had gone to a couple of Tony Robbins events, and then I had just kind of randomly, I was actually looking at something for a client, so I was on their website and saw an opening for a results coaching position. So I just applied, and it's a longer process. The 4%, you start with sort of a training group, and they kind of weed out people as you go before they actually hire people on. So only 4% of the initial pool of applicants are hired on to coach Tony Robbins clients.
Wow.
So it was an intensive and a wonderful learning experience.
That's very prestigious. Yeah. So that's wonderful. Now, in terms of like your background, because all of us do come from backgrounds, maybe some pain that we want to transform to help other people and ourselves. Was there any kind of failure that you experienced in your life? I know you said you were single for a long time in relationships. What really spurred you on, and what did you learn from that failure?
Yeah. So I was single for a while, although I dated a lot. So that's why I knew something wasn't working, because it clearly wasn't just about meeting the right person, or else I probably would have met him with the number of dates I had been on. But I had fallen in love really hard and fast when I was 18 originally. And I was with that person kind of on and off through college for 4-5-ish years. We sort of had a friendship or whatever after. And that was my first real experience of love. And when that relationship ended, it took a while before it really hit me. I dated a lot. I distracted myself. I just thought, oh, I'll find someone better. And, you know, I kind of made all these excuses.
So you were doing the serendipity dating that you're talking about.
Yes, I was totally doing the serendipity dating.
Okay.
Yep. I was like, I'll just find someone better, right? And that wasn't really working out for me so well. And I realized that I really didn't deal with the pain of that relationship, of what it, you know, what comes from feeling like you met your person that you're going to be together with. It was my first real experience of love, and losing that, and also things that were within me that didn't make it work. You know, so I had to look at all of that. It wasn't just him; it was absolutely me too. And that's where some of that pain and the closure from that relationship and the self-love came in of what am I really looking for here? And not just what am I looking for? It's not just about finding the right guy or the right woman. It's also about who do I need to be the kind of person to make a great relationship work? And I wasn't that person yet.
I see that. Now, Alexis, let's say that you have one tweet that you can give to the world to really inspire people. What would that be? So give me a little phrase if you have one that, you know, kind of summarizes who you are and what you're doing.
That's a great question. I have one pinned to the top of my Twitter, actually, and I wish I had pulled it up first. But let's see. Oh, here it is. So I have, you gradually attract people who think and behave like you. If you want a truly loving relationship, start becoming what you're looking for.
Okay, does that fit the characters? That's a little bit long.
It's still in a tweet. Maybe it's a little bit too long.
Okay,
I don't know.
Say it one more time.
You gradually attract people who think and behave like you. If you want a truly loving relationship, start becoming what you're looking for. So maybe just that latter sense. If you want a truly loving relationship, start becoming what you're looking for.
Okay, become what you're looking for. So, and then gradually attract that person. I like that. That's kind of like being your best self, you know, self-actualization. Maslow talked about that and others to achieve that highest level. Now, one thing that is also important, Alexis, is, you know, fear. Now, fear is really what keeps a lot of people from having that great relationship or even a career opportunity or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The fear of failure, the fear of rejection and different things, the fear of not being worthy. Now, in your life, what fear is your biggest fear and what have you done to overcome it?
That's a great question. You know, I think it came out for me almost more in business than it did while I was dating, but I see for a lot of my clients it comes out in dating. And that is that fear of not being good enough, that fear of being rejected, right? That maybe you put your best self out there and it's not enough.
So give me an example. What were you afraid of? Starting a new business, doing something different?
Yeah, I think I was so afraid of, especially starting my business, because you have to be a bit more public, right?
Yes.
That people weren't going to like me, you know, that I'd get that kind of same dating-ish form of rejection. That maybe people I've known in the past would be like, gosh, who does she think she is? You know, what is she doing? That people wouldn't like what I was doing and maybe would openly say so. So I really had a lot of fear around that in the beginning. And now I don't worry about it so much, I guess, just after repetition and practice. So I see the same fear come up a lot for dating.
So to overcome the fear, what do people need to do? Let's say they have a fear like that to start a new business or a new love relationship.
Yeah.
What do you recommend for them?
That you're not going to be good enough in that fear. So Tony Robbins actually says that almost every human on this planet has one or both of two fears, and that's that you're not good enough in some way, and the other is that you won't be loved or you'll lose love. Right. So even just knowing that helped me to feel better, to realize that, you know what, it feels so personal. And to my clients, the same thing. It feels so personal when you feel rejected in date. And yet this is something that almost everyone has some kind of similar fear, you know, their own version. And when you realize that it's not just you, this is just part of it, part of the struggle, then for me, that helped me to keep going, to realize, you know what, this is just part of my growth. And by doing this, it's actually going to help me to grow. And by repetition, you kind of just become more comfortable with it. And that in itself helps to lessen some of that fear.
Yeah. And you know, I like to use a phrase, take action despite the fear. So despite the fear, I mean, you can still be afraid, but you take the right step, whether it's, you know, going out with someone or researching a new business or opportunity. And the other idea is, like, when you're in a movie theater, you can't see. But if you stay long enough in the dark, you will start to see, right? You can see the light. So it's being accustomed to that, you know, like you said, being aware of the fear. Yes.
Right.
Now, let me ask you, Alexis, what is your greatest accomplishment? I mean, what are you most proud of? I mean, I don't know if you have children or if you want them or something in the future. What are you most proud of right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I think from an accomplishment standpoint, in the past, I probably would have said turning in that Harvard thesis and graduating was a challenge
that's
for sure.
Impressive. Yes.
But now I have a 2.5-year-old boy,
oh,
and
there you
I'm
go.
Definitely I'm so proud of him. I just
congratulations.
love him so much. Yeah.
That's
So that's definitely a pride thing for
is he,
me.
Is
at
he
this
gonna,
point,
is he gonna be a little love guru or some psychologist
oh,
someday?
Oh gosh, I don't think so. He has such an engineering brain. He
oh.
loves to kind of tinker and figure things out.
Okay. So he's got the left
who
brain.
Who knows? But he might be more of the
math. So you do figure your child is your greatest accomplishment. So I was right about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then. How about in your career or business ventures, is there anything you're excited about right now that you want to tell our listeners, anything that you're working on upcoming?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Crazy Wild Love Academy did just undergo a pretty big transformation, and I'm doing it right now. So we have an active group of women, and it's great. And it's been a success. I'll be running that again in the fall and continuing to make improvements and tweaks as I go. So I'm definitely excited about that right now because it's really great to see women in a group environment connecting with each other and taking some of these steps.
And what do they do? Do you guys do some kind of like sharing with each other? Do you do exercises, things like that?
Yep. So there's a curriculum with it. There's exercises for the 7 weeks. And then every week we get on a call together over Zoom. So we're all kind of connected, you know, can see each other on video and everything. Mm-hmm. And we share our experiences mm-hmm. from the week, get some coaching
right.
from me around that,
okay.
and then also learn a little bit, yeah, about that
well,
stuff.
Great. Well, you know, if you ever need me to help you with any of those things, I mean, I could maybe give you some kind of input or even appear on one
yeah,
of your
Yeah,
that
would
your
be
programs.
Great. Thank you.
And,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and if you ever come out to LA, California, we'd definitely love to have you out here to maybe do a little workshop or something if you're interested.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I mean, I think there's a lot of valuable material here that we've learned. You know, coming from your perspective, because a lot of people think, you know, I have things going for me, but why am I still single? You know, and then people think about that. But you're saying it's a uh-huh. universal problem. A lot of people, maybe it's the inner self, or maybe it's opportunity or other factors. So I really appreciate your knowledge. And I just want to say, you know, we'd love to have you back again someday, Alexis. And this has been
thank
a
you.
nice time with you. So I will
yes,
bid
you,
you guys love university. This has been a very wonderful session. It's time to put away your books, your backpacks, and everything else. Now, if you want to reach us and ask questions about today's show, you can call us at 310-226-8090. Email us at lovetype4u@AOL.com. It's LOVETYPE, the number 4, letter U at AOL. And, of course, our website is loveuniversity.love. And, Alexa, you said you have something that you can give to our listeners, some kind of a giveaway.
Yes, absolutely. So I have a 3-part video series that's completely free to get started with, and it'll take you more in depth through some of the steps and some exercises that we talked about today. And you can grab that at my website at alexismeads.com/gift.
Perfect. Okay. And your website is alexismeads.com where they can see everything that you have.
Yes, exactly. And you can find it on there. But if you just go right to the alexismeads.com/gift, it'll be right there waiting for you. It's my 3 Secrets to Ending Dating Frustration Forever.
Perfect. And of course, maybe the best thing of today is, I know, Reggie, you're going to go to your barista right now. You're going to Starbucks. Is that right? You're going to start talking to the people there and make some friends and see where it goes. Excellent. Well, until next time, this has been Love University. Remember to love yourself first, others, and a higher nature. Until next time.